Live.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Love welcome, everybody. Radio.
You're live.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the men's room. Welcome to the men's room. I'm your host, Faith Walker, Minister Faith Walker. Here we report live from the men's room. And in case you're your first time joining, the men's room is where we talk about our sex relationships, real talk from the pulpit, real talk from the pulpit. Where tradition and religion is not allowed. It's not allowed. We have a range of various topics on deck for tonight, so just stick around if you're on, if you're listening via internet. Just kick back with your favorite cup of tea and your Bible scriptures and get ready for a good show, amen, a good show led by the Holy Spirit. First of all, we're going to open up in prayer, amen, because no show without the Holy Spirit, amen. So we're going to go into prayer right now in Jesus' name. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, anoint this show, Lord God. Anoint this show, anoint the airways, Lord God. Lord God, we bind anything that's not of you, Lord God. And we release real talk. We come against the spirit of tradition and religion, Lord God. And we ask, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, let everybody, Lord God, who's designed to be on this program tonight, be here in place to be, Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit be the author, Lord God, of everything tonight, Lord God. We bind all works of the enemy right now, Lord God. Send your angels, Lord God, to touch these internet waves, Lord God. Sanctify them, Lord God, and draw all those who need to be delivered from the following topic tonight, Lord God. Have everybody in their respectable places, Lord God. We honor you right now. We honor you, Lord God. We give honor, Lord God, even to our overseer of the program on the spot, Lord God, Pastor Hill, in his respectable places, Lord God. All the ministers, all the fivefolders in their respectable places, Lord God. Anoint your prophet as she comes on tonight, Lord God. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, stir up the gift of God in her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, Lord God. Let the rhema word come forth, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Anoint me as well, Lord God, that the words and meditation of my heart be guided by the Holy Spirit. We'll be careful to give you all honor and all praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. So, yes, yes, we do give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith tonight. And listen, on the men's room tonight, we just give an honor. The honor is due to all of those who are paving the way, who are laboring out there, scattered abroad. And if you had a chance to check out some interesting books, amen, From Gigolo to Jesus by K.L. Belvin, amen, it's an awesome testimony of a brother that's gone from being out there in the streets playing women, you know, gigoloing. And he wasn't in the church yet, but he was out there in the streets, as many of young people are, as the sister said on the mantle Monday night. But anyway, that brother has an awesome testimony. You can go to bravenpublishing.com and check out his book. It's From Gigolo to Jesus. It's a journey from misogyny into monogamy, amen, is brother K.L. Belvin, amen. Him and his wife, Tiffany Belvin, they're some awesome people in the Lord. But my guest on tonight, amen, she needs really no introduction, amen. But she's a world-renowned author, amen. Her book, STD, Sexual Transmitted Demons, it's a very good read. She stays busy, amen. She stays busy for the master, and she also stays busy, amen. She's a prophetess, amen. She's also a doctor who counsels for a holistic point of view. She's straight up, real talk, get real down and dirty, amen, you know, when it comes to the warfare, amen, against the adversary, the devil, amen. And she's been giving him a hard time, I'm pretty sure of it, amen. But her book, STDs, I had the honor and privilege of reading, amen, which is an awesome testimony. It talks about her walk. I'm not going to spoil it because, amen, we're going to have her on, amen. She's going to talk about that, amen. But it's an awesome testimony, and awesome testimony. But our topic tonight is save and sexing. We have a lot of people out there who are in the church who are having sex before marriage. They range from a variety of people. From preachers, from elders, from pastors, prophets, you name it, they're doing it out there. Oh, come on, don't turn your radio off now. Don't turn your radio off. Do not hang up your phone. Because this is real talk. This is what we do in the men's room. We attack the topics that are very prevalent in the lives of men, things that men can grow from, things that men wrestle with, amen. But hopefully God will provide some answers tonight that will enlighten you tonight. So, definitely, and our guest tonight, I mean, she has her own testimony when it comes to, she's dealt with men in leadership, amen, in her book, STDs, which you can pick up on Amazon.com and also at DrIntimacy.com. She also has another book that is called The Spirits of Sexual Perversion Reference Book, amen, which is now an updated version. It's a very interesting read. It goes on into fornication, sexual conduct, rape, molestation, all types of spirits that drive people to run amok in these last evil days, amen. So it's an awesome read, awesome book. And the woman of God, she should be joining us shortly right now. But let's just talk about fornication. Let's just talk about sex. Let's just get right down into it. We know out there in the churches there's a lot of sex going on, and the more we don't talk about it, the more people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. I mean, we have kids that are running out there, and they're running out there, they're looking for answers. They're looking for answers on all the wrong places because the church won't provide them for them. It won't provide them for them. We sweep it under the rug like it's taboo. Well, amen, I believe we got a caller. I think it's our special guest.
Yes, are you able to hear me?
Well, praise the Lord. Without no further ado, we have Prophetess Lenine Hanaya, also known as Dr. Intimacy. She is on the line with us tonight. Amen. Amen. She's just fresh off her trip from Jacksonville, where she did a Saved in the City, amen, where they crossed out the sex in the city and have done a Saved in the City, amen. Prophetess Lenine Hanaya, how are you doing?
I am wonderful, Mr. Faith Walker, always walking by faith, of course.
Amen, amen, amen. Listen, I was just telling everybody I was just telling everybody about your book, which I had the honor and privilege of reading, the STD books, which it talks about your journey, amen. Your journey from just New York, everything that you've been through, how you was molested, everything that you went through, and then going on and dealing with the spirits that was released into your life, and then going to warfare when you didn't even have no knowledge of spiritual warfare. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And then going on.
Playing. I'm having a little bit of hard time hearing you. I hear this music in the background there.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Well, if our engineer can just turn down the music just a little bit, so we can hear our special guest. Okay. Amen. Can you hear me, Prophetess?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, engineer, can you just turn the music down just a little bit more? Just a little bit more, sir. Just a little bit more. Okay.
I guess our engineer is just doing what he do.
But anyway, we're not going to allow anything to hinder the flow of this broadcast. But listen, I know you're a busy prophetess, amen. And your book is just an awesome testimony. It's an awesome testimony. It's a journey from start to finish. But our topic tonight, we're talking about, and we're going to get into your book as well too, because I want the folks to be clear that I would not have anybody else who's qualified to answer the question that's prevalent right now concerning fornication and sexual immorality in these churches. So what is your take on it, Prophet Lenine, about what goes on? And first of all, what starts the lusting within a man?
That's always a great question. And that answer is really clear, because the Bible says in the book of James that every man sins when he is enticed and drawn away by his own lust. And so lust is really birthed out of the heart of a person when they make a decision to yield their members to sin. And that's why it tells us in the book of Romans not to offer up any part of our body to sin. Don't be a slave to sin. We've been redeemed
right
from the mastery of sin.
See, that's real awesome, because I know brothers, and let's just get into it, amen, because we know people like, a person will be engaged, right? They'll be engaged in the church. Okay, we're engaged. And so they figure that, okay, we engaged. God, we can go ahead and have sex. And you're like, okay. You're like, and you as a prophetess, I know you know you're able to design. You'll be like, hold on. That doesn't mean you got a license now to go and have sex because you engaged. I mean, what do you think about that, prophetess?
Yeah, I actually spend so much time dealing with that particular topic in my book, The Spirits of Sexual Perversion Reference Book, where there is an entire chapter dedicated to the spirit of fornication, and I talk specifically about sex during the engagement period. And one of the ways that the enemy has been able to really establish that stronghold is with the myth of premarital sex. Our whole idea in the church about what fornication really is so off. And the scripture says that my people perish for what? The lack of knowledge. And so our lack of fundamental understanding about what fornication really is and what the spirit of fornication really comes to do has enabled the enemy to maintain that stronghold. There's no such thing, Minister Faithwalker, as premarital sex. That is the biggest myth and the biggest lie probably in the church right now, because biblically, marriage begins with intercourse. In the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam joined together with that woman and she became his wife, there was no church, there was no pastor, there was no license, there was no wedding ring, there was no flower girl or ring bearer, there was no bridal party, there was no reception, There was no bachelor party. There was sex. They had intercourse, and when they had intercourse, they became husband and wife. And so there is no such thing as premarital sex. When you have intercourse with someone, you have got married to that person. And that is one of the greatest weapons that the enemy is using against the church right now, is that missing piece of knowledge. Because we have a tendency to believe, and what is commonly taught in the church, is that fornication exclusively points to a dating male and female that engage in sexual activity before they take those wedding vows. Now, that is that falls under the umbrella of fornication, but when you look at the word fornication in the Greek, it literally means illicit sexual activity. That is the literal meaning of fornication. It's illicit sexual activity. And so fornication would be inclusive of any and all deviant sexual behavior, even within the confines of marriage. So fornication is actually possible and likely, as a matter of fact. It's not only possible, but it's likely within the confines of marriage. And the main reason for that is because if you are engaging in sexual activity before you make the full commitment that comes with that marriage covenant, well, that spirit of fornication now becomes the foundation of your marriage, and you carry that spirit into the marriage.
Amen. Amen. I totally agree with you, first of all. Now, when I address the premarital sex, I was just addressing it from the context that you explained from the church. Now, I know that premarital sex is something that, you know, the church kind of says, but it does. You are married once you have sex with somebody. You go into somebody, and you knew each other, amen, and y'all become one, and it's a spiritual transfusion. You become a partaker of whatever that person is dealing with, whatever they're dealing with. But when a person have sex outside of marriage, you said that there are things, there's things that release, okay? So they have sex, and now that sister go back to her house, that brother go back to his house. Now, he hears the same song. Say, for instance, we're having real talk. Now, say this guy who hasn't been delivered, or this woman who hasn't been delivered, they're listening to R. Kelly or one of these secular artists on the radio while the fornication was going down. Now, that same song comes on while he was doing the sexual, you know, the sexual immorality, or, you know, what they was doing. So now what happens when he listens to that song? The spirit, now what goes on in the spirit realm right there from when he hears that initial song and what initially goes on?
Well, that's something that actually happens in the soul realm, where a soul tie has been created between this man and woman through the sexual activity. And what the song does is it solidifies or strengthens that soul tie. So now that song is associated with the soul tie that was created, right? So every time you hear that song, it reminds you of the soul tie. And it brings up all of those feelings, all of those memories. It stirs up lust in your members, because that soul tie has been associated with the feeling of pleasure that your body experienced. So when that soul tie is reactivated through hearing that song, it stirs up your physical members, and you find yourself picking up the phone trying to set up. We had a real talk, right? So you're trying to set up a booty call now. So, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So prophetess, in your book, you say when you was 15 years old, you started sexing a boy, you know, who smoked cigarettes, right? So now you said after a few months of having sex with him, you begin to smoke. Now I know from being out in the street and before being into the church, you know, you smoke blunts and stuff like that. Then you run across a girl or something like that. She don't smoke blunts or she don't smoke a drink. And then after you have sex with her, then after a while of dealing with her, she becomes a partaker of that spirit. Then all of a sudden you smoking a blunt, she'd be like, well, let me hit that. You'd be like, no, you don't smoke. Nah, let me hit that. Now, what goes on right there?
Well,
What goes on right there that make her want to hit that blunt? Just explain to the those who are listening via internet or online, and all you have to do is just push one and just chime on in the conversation. We're here with Prophetess Lenine and Anaya of the Spirits of Sexual Perversion and STD, Sexual Transmitted Demons. Amen. But what goes on right there in smoking the blunts and the cigarettes, and then a sister sleeps with a guy who's dealing with those things? What goes on right there?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I talk about that real deeply in the book STD, Sexually Transmitted Demons. That's why it is so important, Minister, to understand the fundamental makeup of what happens when you have sex, that a marriage actually takes place. And why that is so important is because, remember, in a marriage relationship, everything becomes community property. Once you get married, it's no longer yours and mine. Everything is ours. And that applies to the spirit realm as well. So now you
talk
have sex
it.
With somebody that has some type of demonic stronghold attached to them. And what a demonic stronghold is, just for clarity, is really, it's just a collective body of demons that is assigned to cause a particular struggle or a particular negative outcome in your life over and over again. So it's a body of demons that is assigned to do something in your life that is going to affect your divine nature, okay? So you have sex with somebody that has some type of particular demonic stronghold operating in your life, and because you have married this person and you become one with them, those demons now have access to you as well. And so what happened to me when I was 15, I always hated cigarettes. I couldn't stand the smell of it. I hated smoke. I hated what it did to the body. But when I had sex with this individual that smoked cigarettes, his spirit of addiction now had access to me. And so I began to smoke. Same thing happened with selling drugs. I began to sell drugs after having sex for an extended period of time with a drug dealer. I was not raised in that kind of environment. I didn't know anything about that life growing up. But that spirit, I call it the thug spirit, that thug spirit had access to me because of the oneness with the person that I was having sex with. So it was a sexually transmitted demon. And man, I could go through so many stories like that. One more example real quickly. I was a high honor roll student. I loved school. And when I started having sex with a guy that had dropped out of school, I also dropped out of school. Even though I was a high honor roll student who loved school, that was a spirit of failure that had attached itself to me through my sexual covenant with this individual.
Well, I'm just sitting here and I'm just enjoying this, amen. And I know the listeners are too. But this is, we're live at the men's room, amen. It's the number 347-945-5416. You just press 1 to chime on in. We're sitting here with Prophetess Lenine Hanak, author of STD, Sexual Transmitted Demons, The Spirits of Sexual Perversion Reference Book. I recommend you definitely go out and get that and add that to your spiritual warfare library, amen. I mean, so the Bible talks about people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, the lack of knowledge. How important do you think it is that a person be properly educated on things as far as soul ties, things pertaining to the spirit realm? How important do you think is for a young person to know that, sitting in the church while all the jumping and the shouting and going on, and they sitting there like, when's somebody going to teach me something? How important do you think that is for a young person to be armed with this information that you include in your book, The Spirits of Sexual Perversion and STDs?
I can't even stress the significance and the urgency on how critical it is for people to have this information, Minister. As a matter of fact, I have 7 children. My youngest is 5. And I talked to all of my children about these things. When I wrote the book STDs, as a matter of fact, I wrote it for the younger generation because I wanted the younger generation to be able to get this information. I met with another young lady today that I'm going to be preaching for in a couple of weeks here, and she's doing a marriage conference, and she was talking about how divorce destroys society. And I pointed out to her, I said, you got to understand, though, the root problem is not divorce. Because if not for the spirit of fornication, there would be no divorce. And so the root problem in the family is not divorce. It is fornication. And
right,
the only
right.
way that we're going to be able to really see a turnaround, the only way we're going to see some significant improvement in the divorce rate in the church is if people begin to get this information, this teaching, and this understanding about the power of sex, these sexual covenants, these marriage covenants, these soul ties. People have to have a healthy reverence. I mean, you need to be, you need to get to the point where you are literally shaking out of your boots at the very thought of having
right.
sex that is not your husband or your wife. It has got to get that serious. And not out of a fear, like being afraid, but such a reverence for the holiness and the power of sex. Sex is literally, it is a miracle. A miracle takes place when sex occurs. And there has got to be a reverence for sex like never before. So it is really, really important to teach this. And it's important to teach it at a young age. I mean, you should start talking to your children about sex at an age-appropriate level, of course, as young as two years old.
Right, right, right. Okay, that's awesome. I mean, that's just really awesome because we know that marriage and the sexual act is worship. We know that it's worship, it's symbolic to Christ in the church, and that's just something that the enemy just wants to pervert altogether. He wants to pervert, and so what he does, he just copycats everything. And I know me and you had a conversation. We were talking about, you know, you had somebody that was holy roller, and you had a relationship like that where a man was a holy roller, you know, all that and everything like that. But then you didn't have that friendship side. You didn't have that friendship side. Now, what does the spirit of religion do, and then how does that birth unsatisfaction in the area of intimacy between a man and a woman in a covenant of marriage? What goes on right there?
Yeah, that is such a great question. This is, to me, Faith Walker, is one of the greatest tragedies in the church to me concerning marriage, how we will have all of this quote-unquote fun when we're in fornication, and we'll do all these fun things like date and have all this wonderful sex and so on and so forth. And our understanding of marriage is so twisted and so perverted that when it's time for us to actually enter into the holy matrimony that can be blessed from above, we don't even enjoy the marriage. As a matter of fact, all throughout your years of fornication, you know, take females, for instance, all throughout their years of fornicating, they will give themselves freely to any guy who wants to have sex with them. And then when they get married, they withhold sex from their husband. Okay? You have no idea how many men that I counsel with, married Christian men, that actually prefer masturbation over intercourse with their wives. So they've had sex with all of these women leading up to marriage, and now when they're actually married, they would rather engage in self-sex than actually enter into their wife. And you're right, that has actually been birthed forth out of the spirit of religion that has given us the idea that all of the fun part of quote-unquote relationships and dating is outside of the marriage. That's when you're dating and when you're fornicating and sex is fun. But once you get married, well, the only reason to get married now is to go do some work for the kingdom. You know, we have to go through some spiritual stuff now. And that's a great, great myth. You know, Yeshua said in the scriptures, Jesus said that in heaven, we will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And it's important to understand that marriage is for the earth and it is for the flesh. Marriage is for the earth and it is for the flesh. Marriage has nothing to do with the hereafter. And so if you want a prayer partner, get a prayer partner. If you want to start a church with somebody, go find you a co-pastor, okay? If you want to open up a business with somebody, get a business partner. If you want to play golf, get a golf buddy. But your marriage is for you to become one with somebody. It is for you to be intricate and intimate with them, to get all the way into that person and for that person to get all the way into you. Because the special thing about the marriage relationship is this. You can have a close relationship with a lot of people on the level of the soul. You can be really, really close. You can mentally click with somebody. You guys can flow together well emotionally. You can intellectually flow together. You can have a spiritual covenant with somebody, like with your pastor or somebody that you do ministry with. And all of that is fine. It is legal. But the marriage relationship is the only relationship ordained by God where you can actually come together in all three realms with somebody. So with other people, you can connect both spirit and soul. But the marriage relationship allows you to connect with your entire trinity, with the trinity of your being, spirit, soul, and what? Body, which is the flesh. So marriage is for the flesh, and flesh is for the earth. The only reason that we have a body of flesh is to house our spirits while we are on the earth. So marriage is for the flesh, and it is for the earth. And so, you know, the most important part about marriage is that you like my flesh. I mean, you have got to like who I am on the earth. It doesn't matter how well we pray together, and if we can fast together, and if we can preach together. I mean, there were times that I've seen people go out and preach the gospel, and I mean, tear the house up, lay hands a couple. They'll lay hands, preach, do everything. And then they don't even talk to each other on the way home, can't stand each other.
Right, right, right. You are absolutely right. We have seen that in the church now. So prophetess. So upon also in your book you talk about you had an encounter with leadership, with elders. I mean you had relations with elders and pastors that you had formed a sexual covenant with. Just give the listeners of how does a man in leadership, in pulpit position, how does he fall away like that? You was a partaker of that in your former life. I'm going to say your former life. Seeking God. You was actually seeking God. You wanted the Jesus that you saw and heard about in the Bible. You wanted Jesus. And these people were responsible for feeding. Now, I mean, just take us inside of what was going on, you know, in that particular part of your testimony.
Well, I can answer that question so many different ways, but let me try to simplify. I'm going to answer it from a natural perspective and then from a spiritual perspective. You said, how could they fall away like that? Well, to be honest with you, I don't really see it as a falling away because they never even stood. I mean, you have to be standing. Okay.
Hey, that's the right age. I was looking for you to say that.
And so, you know, it's kind of, you know, it makes me laugh a little bit, but it's kind of sad how people will say something like, I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that. Well, you have to understand, spirit of fornication at its best, you're not struggling with anything. See, struggling means that you're in a war with something. You are actually wrestling. There has to be some resistance for you to call it a struggle. When you get caught up into fornication, it's not a struggle. It is premeditated. It is planned out. I remember this one particular elder that I fell into sexual sin with, he actually devised a plan to be able to have sex with me where I had not. And this is just the saddest story. He had been trying to get me to come to church because I was out of fellowship at that time, and he had been trying for 6 months to get me to come to church, and I did not.
Hold on. You mean to tell me Elder been trying to get you to come to church for 6 months.
For six months, tried to get me to come back to church. I used to go to the church, and I was out of fellowship. I was completely out of fellowship. I was smoking weed, hanging out, drinking. I mean, I was just gone, okay? And just living in complete debauchery. And so little by little, I started to redevelop my relationship with the Father because I had known him before, and I had fallen away. So little by little, I was coming back to him, and this elder kept trying to get me to come to church, and I didn't want to go because my experiences in church have been very negative, and the people have been really judgmental toward me, and I preferred to work out my own soul salvation at home. And the reason I'm telling this story is to just point out that when you come under a spirit of fornication, you're not struggling. And it's really important to understand that. And so after 6 months of him trying to get me to come to church, he was actually devising a plan. I told him that I felt that he was getting a little too close to me and that he should stay away from me. That I think that we needed to not be friends anymore, not pray together anymore. Now, this is me insist. He's preaching. I don't even go to church. But me, as somebody that was supposedly a sinner, had more discernment and awareness of the devices of the enemy than he acknowledged, okay? And so after 6 months of trying to get me to go to church, he finally gets me to go to church, finally gets me to show up one night for Bible study, Friday night Bible study. There were only three people there that night, and he offered to give us all a ride home. So instead of dropping me off home first, which would have been the best thing to do because I was the closest and easiest one to drop off, he dropped the other two people off first and brought me home last. And that was done deliberately so that he could sleep with me.
So it was well thought out. It was a well thought out plan. No conviction, no Holy Spirit trying to turn him around.
Exactly. It was devised, it was premeditated, it was planned out. I mean, he has been thinking about this thing and putting it together all the while. So he used getting me to come to church to actually have an excuse to be at my house at night.
Wow.
So that's why I said I really can't call it a falling away, because you really have to be in the grips of love to devise a plan like that. I mean, this is deliberate. This is not you saying, God, deliver me. It's you taking grace for granted.
Well, I tell you what, I've did some crazy stuff, and I know my flesh got me to a lot of trouble. Let me make this clear. But I don't think I ever went to the extreme of actually sitting down like, yo, come to the church. We gonna get it popping, you know, or none of that. You know, that's you know, Bible study. We talk about Bible study. But to keep from digressing. We're talking about sex before marriage. We're talking about sexual immorality, fornication, and I know the phone lines. I know, you know, don't be scared. You can just push one and jump up on here. And see, this is what's wrong with the church right now, because nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to sweep it underneath the rug. And while Weezy, Drake, Jeezy, and all of these boys, while they're running around popping bottles and influencing, contaminating your sons and daughters' minds, you would rather sit on the line and just, well, should I push one, or should I talk to the host, or I don't want nobody to know. I want to talk about this. See, that's the same reason why people are being destroyed, for the lack of knowledge, amen. The same reason why they're being destroyed, amen. You can jump right in here and share your thoughts. We're talking with Prophetess Lenine Hanaya, author of the book STD, Sexual Transmitted Demons, 2013 edition. She's a world-renowned author out of Dallas, amen. She shared her testimony. It's an awesome book, STDs. Also, she's the author of the book Sexual Perversion, reference book, which is an excellent read, amen. So we're sitting here talking, and listen, You was dealing with men's in leadership, so to get back on the thing at hand, why don't men why would they rather fornicate than commit? You give me the female's point of view of just why would a man would rather, you know, sleep around than to just say, look, I'm going to marry you. You're going to be my queen, and we're going to solidify this. And, you know, why do you feel a man would just say, okay, well, it's better for me to just fornicate and stuff like that? Do you think that the lack of knowledge or just not knowing what he's unlocking in Pandora's box or not knowing what takes place once he goes into a woman? Because I actually believe the lack of knowledge is really what fuels a man to do those things. If you armed with the information, you will think twice. But then again, if you're bound by that spirit of lust, and you're in lust, you know, and I mean, if you're in that thing real heavy, locked in, I mean, your thoughts are going to be fueled by it, and which is going to translate into your actions. So what do you think about that, about what goes on from your perspective in that sense?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it is so important for gentlemen to be aware of this, especially Christian men. And I'm really making a plea to Christian men listening to this right now, because being a woman that has been abused and misused by Christian men, you don't understand the damage that you do to a woman when you use her like that. You know, when you have sex with a woman and you don't commit to her, you strip her of her honor and her value. You strip that woman of her virtue. And men complain a lot about women having baggage. But how much baggage have you put into a woman? But you know, you know.
Hold on, you say how much baggage? Now, the brother's like, yo, Faith, man, why you ain't going there? You protect us, man. But listen, and not to cut you off, but we know men's are the givers and the women are the receivers. So be that clear. And I mean, just so you won't be transparent by yourself, I mean, I was like 17, 18 years old, and my girlfriend was like 30 something years old. And once all the experience she has, from my point of view, just what I know to be true of what I experienced, is that when a woman who's older than a man, that's why men like older women, because that small spirit, it desires more company within the body of a man. So that older woman, when she comes to that younger man and he partakes of her, now all those men, you know, John, Ray down at the club and all of them, you know, dudes swimming inside of her. Now she released her, that man is going into her, into that pool of all those men, and now he becomes a partaker. So now that's why a lot of brothers be like, well, I was more, you know, she taught me everything I know. She really didn't teach you. She just gave you all the experience that she had. You know, she gave you all the experience that she had, that exchange. It was an unfair exchange. And now you think, well, she taught me everything you know. Now those spirits of experience that was in her are now you who are the giver, you're giving a whole lot more. And I know, I just remember that I just went around and just going out there and just being really sexually active in my days and stuff. So what goes on? What goes on with that, Prophetess? What goes on with that with a man and a woman?
Well, you asked the question, why would a man prefer to just have sex with a female rather than to commit? And that goes back to, first of all, that fundamental understanding that once you have sex, you've already gotten married. Understand that the devil's agenda with sexual perversion is not to actually have you, and I just got to say this real raw, but the devil could really care less what you do with your penis, vagina, mouth, or anus. He's not interested in your body parts, okay? The devil is spirit. And he is after a spiritual prize. And so with sexual perversion, what he's after is not what you get yourself into. It's actually what you get yourself out of, and that is the anointing. You lose that intimacy and that ability to be one with God when you involve yourself in perversion, okay? And so what he wants to do is actually awaken the sexuality of young men at an early age. And that's why they're teaching our boys in Planned Parenthood that it is natural for you to have a wet dream. That is not natural. That is demonic. That is the spirit of the enemy coming to introduce lust to boys at a young age so that they will actually go out and seek a sexual experience. Why? Because that sexual experience is so powerful. And the younger you are when you have that first climactic experience, the more overwhelming it is because you are not emotionally mature enough to handle the aftermath of having that experience. So now what happens? Well, I told you with sexual perversion, the devil wants to steal your worship. He wants to interfere with your intimacy with God, right? So every spirit of fornication, spirit of masturbation, spirit of adultery, spirit of incest, spirit of homosexuality, spirit of prostitution, spirit of pornography, so on and so forth. Every spirit has a specific assignment in your spiritual life to actually pervert some kind of understanding in your spiritual life. And what the spirit of fornication does is it gives you a sense of false commitment. Okay, the spirit of fornication is a false commitment spirit, is a false loyalty. Because if you notice, Faith Walker, that when people are fornicating, it is always tied to some kind of semi-committed relationship. So when you have that girlfriend, what do you say? She's my wifey. This is my boo. This is my wifey. You know? Right. Or, you know, you're engaged. So it has the appearance of some type of commitment. It tricks you into thinking that it's maybe sort of kind of a commitment, which now gives you the license to engage in something that you should only be doing when you're married, because it has deluded you into having this semi-false kind of marriage, okay? So once that experience takes place, it is easy. Once that spirit of fornication begins to work its assignment in you, it starts by introducing a young man to lust. He begins to have these night emissions, these wet dreams. You know, his sexuality is stimulated. It makes him want to go have sex. And once he has sex that first, or masturbate, because masturbation is also is a form of fornication. So once that first act of fornication takes place, this spirit of false commitment enters into and takes a hold of this young man. So now he wants to continue to have this sexual experience without the full commitment. And he'll move from female to female to female, and eventually sometimes will even begin to move between men. Because masturbation, and this may be like a big shocker, but I'm telling you, one of the main entrances for the spirit of homosexuality is masturbation.
So when a person masturbates, and we have a lot of people, I've talked to sisters in the church, and they said, listen, Faith Walker, listen, I don't feel like I'm sinning against God if I masturbate. I feel like I'm not sinning. I'm not with no man. I'm not exchanging no semen, no nothing, none of that stuff. I just feel like I'm not sinning against God because I'm saving my body for my King. But I have to release. What do you say to those sisters who are trapped in that particular thought?
But you know, again, that is a lot of ignorance. That is delusion. And delusion, remember, spirit of delusion is always a choice. It is a psychotic type of deception. When you don't know, then deception comes by ignorance. But when you know and reject the truth, then you fall under a spirit of delusion where you cannot even recognize the truth any
strong
longer.
Strong delusion, right.
That's right. You know, so when you come under a delusion, the truth is not recognizable to you anymore. You can't even identify with it. And a lot of people with masturbation have fallen under that spirit of delusion, and it is simply this. I remember talking to a brother that was divorced, that was struggling with pornography and masturbation, and because, you know, he had had a difficult time in his marriage, he didn't want to get married again. He said he really didn't want to get married again, and if he did, it would have to be way down the road when his kids were much older. So we're talking like 15, 20 years down the road, right, because he had a small baby. And I talked to him about masturbation and pornography, and he said, so you're telling me that I can never have sexual release again in my life. And that was, I understood his pain because he's saying, you're telling me that if I don't get married, I can never, ever again feel the pleasure of sexual release. And that is the absolute truth. The pleasure of sexual release is only legal as within the confines of marriage. If you are not married, then sexual release is not for you. You have to live like a unit. And that is a hard truth. Even Jesus said himself, he said this is going to be hard for people to accept. But some people are eunuchs, meaning that they can't have sex. Even the Apostle Paul, who was a eunuch by choice, said, I wish that everybody was like me, but not everybody has the gift of singleness. So
people find it very difficult
to live without the pleasure of sexual release once you've had that in your life. And so they try to make all kinds of excuses to justify the act of masturbation. But I'm telling you, I can show you line upon line, precept upon precept, where masturbation is clearly stated in the Bible. And because the word masturbation is not used in Scripture, people try to use that as an excuse to say, well, God doesn't talk about it, so neither should we. But if you get that book, the Spirits of Sexual Perversion Reference Book, or you can even go to my YouTube channel, the Insights from Dr. Intimacy YouTube channel, I break it down where it is actually shown in Scripture where masturbation is a sin against God. It is a sin against your own body. Remember, every spirit has an assignment. So fornication is that spirit of false commitment. Masturbation is the spirit of self-worship. And people who masturbate are very selfish. They are self-absorbed. Masturbation decreases your spiritual stamina, because what masturbation teaches you to do is to seek the path of least resistance. Remember that true intimacy is a labor of love. It is two people dying to self. They are completely dying to self. So in the Scriptures, in the book of Corinthians chapter 7, it says that the wife's body does not belong to her, but it belongs to her husband. And the husband's body does not belong to him. It belongs to his wife, okay? And so intimacy within the confines of marriage is this labor of love where I actually have to completely submit my body to you, and I have to trust you to bring me to climax, and I can't have anything to do with it. So this is a labor of love where we're going to have to connect on such a deep level that you're actually going to have to get deep enough inside of my mentality and my spirit to understand how to bring me to ecstasy, and I have to submit to that process. So masturbation skips all of that and goes straight for the end result, and you give it to yourself. So you become self-centered, self-absorbed, selfish. Because it's all about you and how to get what you want and how to get it as quickly and as easily as possible. So you say you're saving your body for your king? Oh, absolutely not, sweetheart. What you're doing is you're actually training your body to respond to yourself. So when you finally get married, it's going to be impossible for your husband to sexually satisfy you because you have trained your body to respond to your own touch.
Oof. We're sitting here with Prophetess Lenine Hanaya, author of Sexual Transmitted Demons and author of the reference book Spirits of Sexual Perversion 2013 edition. You need to go and get that. You really need that. You think you're so spiritual, you think you know it all. You really need to see what our Lord God has birthed and allowed this woman of God to birth out in this season and just push out and release to the people of God. Like I said, she just came from Jacksonville, Florida, did a wonderful conference out there, Save Sex in the City, and it was just a lot of people I've been hearing that were just truly blessed by it. And so, prophetess, so Jesus said something in the parable. He says, you know, to bind the strong man. You know, the strong man sits in the house. And so, you know, the house represents the body. And that strong man, we know that strong man, he going to remain in that house and get stronger and stronger the more that you feed him. If you feed him with through masturbation or through the various sexual contacts and stuff, he's just going to get stronger and stronger. So how does a person get rid of that strong man? How does a person who's fornicating or indulging in all types of sexual perversion and things like that, how does they get rid of that spirit that got them in the jam in the first place? How do they get rid of that?
That's a great question, and I'm really glad that you asked, because we definitely want to empower people. It's really important to understand that deliverance is a process. It is not an event. So deliverance is never going to come through one service, through one particular medium. It is going to be a war. You got to fight the good fight of faith. And I really suggest that people start that process by getting those two books. And I'm not saying that because I wrote the book, Faith Walker. I'm saying it because I personally, myself, was delivered from the information that was in those books. It was those books that I read that got me out of the sin that I was in when I was caught up into the grips of fornication and masturbation and adultery and some things that I had gone through and so on. The scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so the first thing that has to happen is you need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And what's going to happen is when you read those books is the transformation is going to begin as you renew your mind about what sex really is, what the purpose of it is, what sexual perversion is, what's really happening in your life when you commit these certain acts of sexual perversion. It goes over the 12 steps to deliverance, how to walk through that. So it really is, it is a curriculum. This is a 328-page book. It is a curriculum on sexual perversion and true intimacy with God, with your family, with yourself. And so that's really important. But one little nugget that I want to get while I have a couple of minutes to say it is, the most important thing is you have to cut off the life source of lust. Remember that really the devil's true agenda in sexual perversion is to rob you of intimacy with God. Okay, so I want you to think about this. We talk about the parallel between sexual intimacy between a husband and wife and our spiritual intimacy with God, because he wants to be spiritually intimate with us the same way a husband and wife that are in an ordained holy marriage are intimate with one another. Okay. So if you think about that parallel, Faith Walker, remember that good sex doesn't start in the bed. Good sex begins with the attitude that you have toward each other all day long, the respect
That's right.
that you have for one another, how you look at each other, how you talk to each other, how you interact with one another, and then the foreplay that goes on before penetration, all of the foreplay, all of the buildup to that being a good mutual sexual experience that brings both that man and that woman to the heights of climactic ecstasy. And the reason that I'm saying all of that is that good intimacy with God doesn't start in church on Sunday morning. It doesn't start when you get down on your knees. Okay, it's how you interact with him daily. How do you talk to him throughout the day? How do you live? What's your attitude toward him? How do you respect him? What kind of foreplay do you go through with him before you try to enter into the depths of worship, okay? And so in order to have that good intimacy with the Father, you've got to cut lust off at the source, because lust is the entity that will come to steal that intimacy away. All right, so when you think about certain things that will enter in that will affect that intimacy between the husband and wife, well, if they argue, it's not going to be as good. If there is somebody around that woman that the husband is jealous of and she keeps that person around, their intimacy is not going to be as good. If that man is not being a good provider, their intimacy is not going to be as good. You see the parallel? You see how that works? And so lust is that same entity that comes to take away intimacy with God, and we've got to cut lust off at the source. What are you watching on TV? What are you listening to on the radio? Who are you hanging out with? Bad company corrupts good character. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Who are you keeping company with? What kind of video games are you playing? Huh? What kind of books are you reading? What kind of magazines are you partaking of? What are you watching on TV? Everything in society right now is designed to stimulate your sexuality. Perversion is laced into everything in society, and you've got to guard your eyes. You've got to guard your ears. You've got to guard your mouth. You have to guard your relationships. Guard your mind. You've got to guard the anointing on your life with all diligence. You have to protect the intimacy between you and the Father, and that's how you cut lust off at the source. Stay focused on being intimate with God. You have to begin to think of him as an actual person, as an actual husband or wife that you're in relationship with, and just think, is this going to mess up my intimacy with God? And that's how we're really going to get victory over this thing. We have to begin to think about it differently.
Amen, amen. We're coming. We're on the 10 o'clock hour. Amen. We got probably about 30 minutes left in our broadcast. We'll give Prophetess a break right now. Just give her a breath because she's the Spirit of the Lord got her going in. Amen. So, and again, we're just sitting here with Prophetess Lenine Anaya, also author of STD, Sexual Transmitted Demons, Spirits of Sexual Perversion, Reference 2013 edition. This time, we just like to shout out everybody who's doing their thing in the kingdom of God. Amen. Shout out to Prophetess Dewan, amen, and Prophetess Latanya Smith, Marketplace Prophets, amen, the School of the Prophets. They're doing their thing down there in, I believe it's Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, they're doing awesome work down there. Shout out to some real prophetesses as well as Prophetess Lenine Anaya, who we got on this phone right now. So shout out to the real prophets that's doing their thing. I mean, because you got a lot of prophets, amen, who don't have no, you know, God hasn't given them no mission to go about. So, you know, that's another topic, amen. But shout out to the real prophets doing their thing, amen, who's out there bringing reformation to the church in this present dispensation. Also, shout out to GQ Palace, Rich Money, Lavina, Sister Lavina Polite, Spiritual Sunday. You definitely want to check them out. Definitely want to check them out. Got an awesome program on Spiritual Sunday. Shout out to K.L. Belvin, Tiffany Belvin, Braven Publishing. They doing their thing where they writing straight from the heart. And definitely also a special shout out to the sisters at Behind the Veil International Ministry. Shout out to Pastor Evangelist Eva Thrill Miles, amen. Those sisters, if you have a chance, you need to Google them. Amen. You need to Google them and look them up, amen, because they some fire-spitting women of God, amen, and they go in behind the veil, amen. You know, hey, don't step up on that call. You step on that conference call the wrong way, amen. Spirit will call you out, amen, in Jesus' name. But we're back here with Prophetess Lenine Anaya. We're talking about sex, you know, before marriage and stuff like that. And we're just talking about what goes on before and just even now and stuff like that. Because people in the church, they just have a hard time waiting. They seem like they don't want to wait. We in a right now generation. Everybody just want, you know, you can't use worldly.
Minister, can you hear me? I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't hear anything. Hello? Okay, if you can hear me, I'm going to hang up and call back.
You know, who does an awesome work over there at Harvest, at the Harvest and Jesus Child Radio, amen. You know, if you're there, woman of God, you know, just, you know, come on back in and join us. Amen. But Prophetess, how you doing, woman of God? Did we lose our caller?
Yeah, I think you lost her, too.
So we lost Prophetess Lenine Anaya?
Yeah, we lost our in-laws. dropped.
Well, forgive us, ladies and gentlemen. We've been having technical difficulties ever since last night. But the devil is a liar in the name of Jesus Christ. But anyhow, shout out to GQ Palace, Rich Money, all them. I know Brother KL, I know he got reality relationships going on over there at GQ Palace. So whenever you get a chance, you definitely want to check him out. Also, shout out to the mayor. Shout out to the mayor on Tuesday. They do the sports thing over there. I mean, you know, yeah, my Boston won last night. But we're talking about sex in the churches, man. It's sex in the church, and it's just, you know, brothers need to arm themselves with the information, amen. If you know what goes on in the realm when it comes to sexual intimacy with a woman, I mean, you just don't know. And then the actual sexual transmitted diseases, they're nothing more than demonic words becoming flesh, demonic interaction becoming flesh. And then it comes in the form of breakouts, AIDS, you know, gonorrhea, all those different diseases and stuff like that. So you definitely want to be sure that you do the math and just look in the Bible and search the scriptures like the Bereans and see if these things be so in Jesus' name. So we was just talking with Prophetess Lenine Hanayi. She got an awesome book, Sexual Transmitted Demons. And she just goes into her book. I mean, she breaks down fornication, masturbation, adultery, incest, homosexuality, prostitution. She goes in. When I say she goes in, I mean she goes in. And the Lord is just so good for this book, because this book is really what helps some people in the church who is battling, amen, you know, in Jesus' name. Right now we're going to have our scripture reading of the night, amen, be coming from John. We'll be coming for John, verse 26 of the 6th chapter of John. And it reads, Jesus answered to them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him had God the Father sealed. So recognize that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So why would you go and join your body with a harlot? You know, equip yourself with the information. I know me out there, you know, in my hypocritical days and just having to find out the hard way about how sexual perversion, hypocrisy can really just do a job on you and just allow the devil to come in and just play chess in your life and you not even having control of the pieces on the opposite side of the board. So just definitely arm yourself with the information and the word of God, and know that sex is intimacy. Know that it is worship, symbolic to Christ and in the church, Christ in the church. And he's coming for a bride without spot nor blemish in the garment. I mean, you know, people like to bring out, well, what about Hosea? You know, he's a prophet, he married a harlot. But listen, that was Old Testament. God just wanted a message to be sent to Israel, okay? You know, and the Spirit of God rested upon the prophet. It wasn't in the prophet. You know, it was rested upon, okay? So it's different. It was an old contract. Under this new contract, we have God on the inside. We have the Spirit of God on the inside. So you must ask yourself, is God going to share you with the devil? Is God going to share you with the devil? Is he going to share you, or is the devil? Are you going to be sold out to the devil, or are you going to be sold out to God? You know, the Bible teaches us that you can't serve two masters. You either love one, hate the other. You know, who you cling to. You know, Moses said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side?" So, what side are you on, church? What side are you on? Are we going to play this game, or are we going to play this game with our bodies? Are we not going to equip ourselves with the information? And a lot of brothers, you know, I've been celibate, amen. After going through my storm and everything, learning the hard way, I'm celibate, man, waiting on God. And I wanted to ask the prophetess, I'm saying, you're a woman of God, amen. What do you do? How do you, armed with all this information that God has birthed out in you, it got to be hard for Mr. Wright, amen. So, prophetess, if you're out there listening, call back in, because I definitely want to ask you that question. You know, how do you approach, I know you're led by the Holy Spirit, but I know you're one person that said, well, you got to be attracted to a person in the natural, in some shape, form, or fashion. So how, as a woman of God, how do you make that selection? How do you make that selection when God has just birthed so much information, birthed so much revelation? Prophet,
yeah, minister. Yeah, I got dropped off somehow, but I made it back on. I guess the devil didn't want to hear any more of me tonight.
Amen. Prophet Lanie and I'm going to ask you, amen, because, you know, I was just talking about you, amen. So now that I got you on the phone here, I mean, you a fine sister, may I ask. You're a beautiful sister. And how does a woman of God, as yourself, a prophetess, a mouthpiece of the Lord, how do you courtship or even entertain courtship, having all this revelation that God has given you? You know, how you have all this revelation knowledge. I mean, God has you write these books, all right, about soul tie, covenant, everything. You know, you meeting a man, and then at that you're a prophetess. I mean, my God. I mean, how do you even entertain applications, my sister?
Well, you know what? We have to remember what I said earlier, that marriage is for the earth and it is for the flesh. And when you begin the courtship process, you have to take off your spiritual garb, and you have to really... You know what we have a tendency to do when we date is we introduce a person to our representative who we want them to think we are. And so, you know, I just have to present myself as who I really am and meet who that person really is. But I tell you, it is difficult in this day and age with me knowing everything that I know. For instance, I talked to a sister today, and she's a powerful Christian sister that's very guarded when it comes to relationships, but she thought it was okay to kiss. And there was a time that I thought that as well, until the Spirit began to reveal to me what actually happens when you kiss. And in the book of Genesis, okay, when God formed Adam in the Garden of Eden, and it says that he blew the breath of life into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Well, that word nostrils, when you look at it in the Hebrew, is actually a Hebrew word that's spelled A-T-H, which is pronounced ath. And that word translates face. And so if you've ever seen somebody give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, you know that they don't blow into the person's nostrils. They blow into their mouth. So what actually happened in the Garden of Eden is that God blew into Adam's mouth. And he blew breath into his mouth, and he transferred saliva into Adam's mouth. Now, what's the importance of that? Well, whenever they're doing a paternity test to establish paternity, they will swab the inside of the mouth to get saliva. Why? Because saliva has the DNA in it. Okay? And so God actually transferred his DNA to Adam when he put saliva in his mouth and he blew breath into his mouth. He became a living soul. So when you kiss, you exchange DNA, and you actually exchange the breath of life. You actually exchange souls with that person when you kiss, because you're breathing into each other's mouth. So the purest, strongest soul tie that could ever exist is going to take place when you kiss. You're exchanging blood and soul. And so, you know, yeah, having that depth of information, it's challenging.
Wow.
It's so prophetess. I think we got another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. I was just listening. This is Rich Money.
Rich Money, what's going on, brother?
Hey, who am I speaking to?
Hey, this is your boy, Faith Walker.
Okay, Faith. I didn't know which name, you know. But anyway, I'm calling in, you know, I'm listening to the show and everything. I enjoy it. And I don't know who was just speaking, but that was some very powerful information.
Yeah, we on here with Prophetess Lanie Hanaya, man. And she written an awesome book, like I was telling you, about STD, sexual transmitted demons, spirits of sexual perversion. I mean, spirits of sexual. I mean, she got me blown away right now. I mean, and I know this sister personally, and I mean, you know, the way God used her is just phenomenal, man. I mean, I pray that this information been blessing to you like it's been to me, and I'm, you know, I'm interviewing her.
Oh, okay. So, can I ask her a question or two?
Floor is yours, brother.
Okay. What actually made you decide to write this book?
Well, thank you for asking that. It really wasn't a decision. Many are called, few are chosen. When I was called, I chose to answer the call. I've always written since I was a little girl, but my idea was to write some nice romance novels or, you know, something that would get me on the Danielle Steele bestseller list. You know, God had something else in mind. But I really enjoy my assignment, and I'm telling you, the driving force behind it is a scripture that I always stand on, and that's Revelation 12:3. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And this is my testimony. This is what I came out of, being raped and molested at the age of 2. Even my mom and dad being involved in sexual sin. He was a pimp that sold her into human sex trafficking. And he had another wife. And so, you know, my whole lineage, my whole heritage before Christ was one of sexual perversion, starting to have sex at a very young age, being very promiscuous as a teenager and young adult, getting involved in all types of sexual activity, mm-hmm. and crying out to the Lord for deliverance and Him opening up my eyes and allowing me to see the spiritual element behind sexual activity. And so He told me that He was going to raise me up to be a deliverer for His people, and I put my hand to the plow, and I didn't look back.
Okay. Faith, can I ask you another question? Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead,
please,
brother.
Okay. Now, see, because I see, like, you're going in with the Bible and the law, as well as you bringing in with the sexual transmitted disease and everything. So what I want to ask, you know, some people say it's a sin for the same sex to actually be together. So my question to you is, how do you categorize the fact that these young teenagers, females, and some males that's actually together having sex, knowing that, you know, it's like a sin to them? What advice would you give them if they was to approach you? You understand what I mean?
Mm. Right. Now, are they asking me,
they ask
it
you,
sin,
do you,
are they denying that it's a sin?
They denying it's a sin, and the fact that they could get the transmitted disease, and which format would they be able to get that transmitted disease, and how would that be considered a sin? What advice would you actually give them if they approached you on that note?
Okay. Well, you know, that's kind of a tricky area, because now you get into should you give people advice on how to safely disobey God. And so, you know, I have to stick to what's in the Word. Of course, if people are having sex, they should be try to be as careful as possible, because a sexually transmitted disease can actually be transferred through oral sex, through anal sex, through vaginal sex, any type of intercourse that you have. You know, if the penis enters into any edifice in the body, any orifice in the body, that disease can be transmitted in that way. But in terms of giving somebody advice on how to prevent getting those diseases, my advice is live holy. Because,
okay.
you know,
<Okay.
laughs> they would try to tell you that a condom can prevent certain diseases, but the truth of the matter is that if semen can slip through a condom, a blood cell is much smaller than a semen cell. And if semen can get through, certainly blood can get through. And what's even more important than that, Rich Money, is this, is that although a condom may protect you from getting a sexually transmitted disease, it cannot prevent you from picking up a sexually transmitted demon. There's no condom that you can put on your spirit to keep that demon from being transferred to you through that sexual activity. There's no condom that can protect you from the soul tie that occurs. And so we think that we get by because we don't end up with a disease or we don't end up getting pregnant. Their detriment is what happens spiritually, and it is what happens with the fragmenting of the soul every time you create yet another soul tie. And I talked to Faith Walker earlier today. We were talking about homosexuality, and one of the reasons that you see homosexuality so rampant, especially in the younger generation, is the diabolical teachings of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is purely demonic, okay? And one of the things that they teach our young people is that it's natural and it's okay to masturbate. But one of the main entrances of the spirit of homosexuality is masturbation, okay?
But don't they consider that like a sin to masturbate? Because
Planned Parenthood.
That was like a sin. No?
In the Bible, it is. I mean, in Christianity, it is. But Planned Parenthood or the curriculum in school teaches children, you know, health education teaches them in school that it's natural and okay to masturbate. But when you masturbate, you're actually introducing yourself to the idea of same-sex pleasure. Because you as a man or a female, whatever you are, take a man for instance, here you are as a man, okay, you are touching and fondling your own male organ. That is a penis that you are touching. So now you have associated in your mind sexual pleasure with touching a penis. That is a homosexual thought. If you are a female that is rubbing your vagina, okay, you have an image in your mind now of being sexual pleasure touching a vagina. And your soul can't make the difference. It doesn't distinguish between whose vagina it is. It's just a vagina. So it's easy now to translate that thought to homosexuality, which is why health education is trying to teach our children the idea that it's okay to masturbate, that it's natural to masturbate. Matter of fact, not only is it okay, it's preferable. Why? Because you can't get a disease when you masturbate. You can't get pregnant with you when you masturbate. So we encourage you now, please, masturbate. You know what I'm saying? That we are opening these kids up to the spirit of fornication and the spirit of homosexuality through this act of masturbation.
Okay, so what would you tell, what would you tell two young females that's actually a couple? Because nowadays you got a lot of females that's going with each other, the same sex. What would you actually tell them if they came up to you and asked you, you know, would this be a sin for me to go to hell because I'm actually with the same sex?
I have to tell them, you know, what the Bible says, that the Bible does very clearly and plainly depict homosexuality as a sinful act. One of the arguments that I get a lot of times concerning homosexuality is that the Bible does not condemn a quote-unquote loving couple, that all of the condemnation in the Bible for homosexuality is only for homosexuals that engage in lustful, promiscuous homosexual behavior, and that if you're a loving couple, it is okay. And so that is one of the greatest arguments that I'm getting about that right now. But homosexuality is a sin, whether you're in love or you think you're in love or you're in lust, it is a sin. You can love whoever you want to love. And I had this conversation even just yesterday with somebody that used that same argument. How can Christians condemn two people being in love? Oh, no. We're not condemning you being in love. You go ahead and love whoever you want to love, but you can only have sex with your God-ordained husband or wife of the opposite sex. So it's not condemning two people that love each other. It is condemning two people who are misappropriating that love in sinful behavior.
So would you agree to the fact of two females being together having oral sex? Would you actually consider that a sin? Or would you actually say there's no problem to it?
No, that's definitely a sin. Sexual activity, all sexual pleasure, any and all sexual pleasure, whether it is oral sex, anal sex, manual sex, if it's humping, grinding, fingering, phone sex, any kind of thing that you can do to and with or for your body that intentionally sexually stimulates you is sinful if not done within the confines of marriage, point blank.
All right, so mainly you're saying that it's a sin, but then you talk about with the same sex. Are you talking about opposite sex as well?
Well, I don't want to, because, you know, we have a tendency to single homosexuals out. All sexual pleasure, any and all, A-L-L,
because in,
there's nothing on
in
the
Bible,
other side of
actually,
all.
In the Bible, I don't know much, you know, like I speak to Faith every now and then, you know, I don't know much about the Bible. I know a little bit, because in the Bible, he calls his female his rib. Am I right?
Yeah, he does say like
he says his rib,
he took the rib from Adam, and then he shaped Eve, and but that's when Adam was perfect. Adam was perfect. That's before sin came in, and when sin came in through the serpent, you know, the serpent beguiled Eve, and they sinned against God. So that's when sin came in. So now that everybody, you know, so now it's no longer pure. And even if you get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what I'm saying, once you're saved, now you got God on the inside of you. So now God says, okay, you got to do it my way. You got to do it my way in marriage. Because if you don't, you know, when you get married, like if a person is if they're having sex before marriage, you know what I'm saying, they might get together and get married. But the thing they're releasing in their marriage now is the spirit of fornication. So now, you know, a guy could be married to a woman. Now, all of a sudden, he's feeling for other chicks. He's feeling for other chicks. You know, because he was fornicating with this woman. Now they got married, and so now it's like, man, I'm not really satisfied with her now, because the spirit that had me disobedient to God, I just now released that in my marriage. So now that same spirit is going to tell me to dishonor my wife. He's going to tell me to dishonor my wife. All right, go ahead and sleep with this chick, sleep with that chick. And now it becomes to a point that it don't even care who she look like now. You don't care. Now you just want to, you know, get as they say in the street, get your thing off. So now it becomes that, you know, because it wants you to be disobedient to God. So, you know, that's what happened with – go ahead, I'm listening.
That's a perfect example. I don't know if you've seen that movie Temptation.
I don't know
if y'all seen Temptation by Tyler Perry that just came out.
Oh, I got to see that.
Okay, she was married, and she doubted that she would never go deal with anybody because she was married. She wouldn't have sex with anybody or whatever, and due to the fact that she was married, she wound up going out of her marriage and messing with somebody and caught AIDS.
Mm.
You understand? And
yeah.
The fact I'm trying to make is, see, I understand what you're saying about, you know, you being not having sex before you get married. So if that was a situation, you understand, that means less children of God will actually be here at this moment. Because you got a lot of people out here that's not married but have children. You got a lot of people that goes to church that's not married but have children. You understand? These are
that's
children
right.
of God. So how
that's
could
right.
that be a sin for the fact of not of having sex before you get married? Because if that's the case, a lot of God children, a lot of God child wouldn't be here.
But you know
so
what?
That's
but
what
you
I'm,
know
that's
what?
I'm, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I feel you on that, because I go in churches, and this is real talk. I go into churches, and just like prophets go in churches. I mean, you see, you know, sisters or brothers with their hands up, they ain't married. You know, they worshiping and praising whatever. I don't knock that. All praise belongs to God. But the thing that happens now.
Hello?
Oh, we out of time? Engineer, we out of time? We out of time?
Yeah.
Listen, we had an awesome time here in the men's room. It got hot. We done ran out of time. Listen, shout out to Rich Money at GQ Palace. Shout out to Providence Lanie and Naya, man. We thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right. I will be tuned in next week, too.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, y'all welcome anytime on the men's room. Everybody, I hope y'all enjoyed yourself. Y'all have a good night. May God bless. I'm going to Beyond the Veil. I'm going Beyond the Veil with them sisters over there. So anybody know where to find me at, I'll be at Beyond the Veil. I'm going to get my praise on.
All right.
I'll holler. God bless.
Amen.
Yeah, I didn't want to be
I forgot my
You gotta be gay to push me away. 'Cause every man in town wants to be with me. Then I said no, you got me wrong, mistaken sadly. 'Cause if I lay down with you, I disappoint my heavenly daddy. 'Cause we're not married and I'm attracted to your personality.